Good morning and welcome to the conference call of Elumeo SE. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. May I now hand you over to Mr. Bouyer?
Good morning to everybody and a warm welcome. My name is Wolfgang Bouyer. I'm the chairman of Elumeo SE, and I would like to take you through our quarterly results for the third quarter of 2015 and the nine-month results. As you all know, this was a rather difficult quarter for us, and we are quite happy for all of kind of the interest that we continue to see in our business. And I would like now to walk you through the major highlights of our third quarter in order to explain a little bit what has happened and how we have coped with the situation. The total sales in the nine-month period of 2015 over the period of 2014 rose by roughly 8% from 50 million to 54 million euros, which was below our expectations. And that followed basically two major impacts. The first impact was that we relocated our activities in the United Kingdom from Leamington Spa to Birmingham in the third quarter. And following that relocation, we faced a number of technical issues that resulted in us not being able to present all of the products that we had produced for the third quarter in order to benefit from the new premises in Birmingham, a better IT system in order to allow us to have much faster presentations and a much more stable IT environment. That very significantly impacted our sales in the month of September and October. And even though in the month of November we have started to return to previous sales levels, we are still a lot behind the expectations that we had for the fourth quarter also for our UK subsidiary, as we had hoped that with our new gemstone purchasing system and newly freshly produced product that we could present in the United Kingdom, we could benefit from that with significantly higher sales. In addition to that, in the beginning of the third quarter, we had a wanted or a expected drop in sales volumes to a certain degree by raising the margins in the German and also in the Italian business to a certain level. We were calculating for that in order to be able to reach the previous margin levels that we had enjoyed in the year 2014. We were always running at a rate of roughly 52 to 54% group margin with the products that we sold, and in particular after the drop of the euro against the Thai baht in the first quarter of this year, we were facing trouble to return to these margin levels. And at the beginning of the third quarter, we decided that we needed to raise our prices moderately in order to return to these group margin levels in order to sustainably profit from the new gemstone acquisition model that we have. And that resulted in the beginning of the quarter in a slight drop of our sales levels, which I have to admit we would probably not have done if we had known what kind of problems we were going to face in the second half of the quarter in the United Kingdom. In the fourth quarter of 2015, we see in Germany and Italy that the business has returned to the previous growth levels, which makes us confident that we will be able to continue to raise our group margins and at the same time continue to grow our revenues in 2016 as previously expected. The third major topic in the third quarter was that we have now finally implemented our new gemstone acquisition model that we have explained during the roadshow in the IPO, where we have moved from a consignment-based model to an inventory-based model that also has a much higher velocity of our products. And what we can see now is that we are going to be able to reach higher gross margins than previously projected, because we now finally see what levels of group margins we can achieve with these products. Unfortunately, due to the trouble that we had in the third quarter, the margins don't fully reflect that in our group numbers for the third quarter, but starting from the fourth quarter and then in particular throughout the quarters of 2016, we're going to see the margins continuously increase until probably towards the end of 2016 or beginning of 2017, where we are going to produce and sell only products produced after the new Gemstone acquisition model, that our group margins are going to develop themselves towards that level. Just to walk you through some of the major things that have not yet been disclosed or spoken about regarding the third quarter. What went well is that we have opened our new factory as of the 16th of December in Canterbury, and we're now continuously or gradually moving our operations into that factory building. There was an official ceremony on the 16th of November in order to start doing this, and then now starting from, I think, the 20th of November, we have started to move our operations in there, which is going to take 4 to 6 weeks. But up until now, all of that move is kind of fully on schedule and there are no additional problems. What we have decided in the third quarter is that we have acquired the premises of the factory into our balance sheet. Previously, we had rented the premises, mostly due to the fact that we had no ability to finance a possible acquisition of the factory. After the company going public, Siam Commercial Bank made us an extremely attractive offer for the financing of a potential acquisition of the factory, and then we evaluated that. And since the outcome of that evaluation was that for the group it was way more beneficial to actually own the factory than to rent it, and since the interest rate offered by Siam Commercial Bank was rather low, we decided to acquire that factory site, which for our group obviously is of extreme importance. Following the trouble in the United Kingdom, we were extremely careful in how to implement our automated commissioning systems in Germany, and kind of walked through the operations in Germany with a much higher degree of care than what we would usually have done. And I can now say with of my confidence that the commissioning system we have installed in Germany works properly without major problems, and that we have now finally moved the entire group to fully automated commissioning systems, which is going to enable us to have the entire product supply from Thailand already in the pre-commissioned boxes that you see in the middle of the slide, where you see these flat little white boxes. And this is how we're going to receive our jewelry now from now on from Thailand in all of our sales territories, and this is going to increase the efficiency in all of our logistics and processes in the group tremendously, making us a lot faster and also allowing us to track our inventory with a much higher degree of reliability. On the sales front, we have launched a new collection in Germany called Jado, which has been designed by Johanna Job, the daughter of Germany's most famous jewelry designer, Jette Job. That collection is a very modern, very young, gemstone-based collection of jewelry that we have developed together with Johanna Job, and we are quite happy about the fact that her mother Jette has agreed to help us promoting this collection by presenting the collection on television in Germany. And that is going to help us with our positioning in the German market for jewelry quite significantly. So at the moment, we are quite confident that this is going to help us boost our positioning in the German market for jewelry quite a lot. Apart from that, our webshop launches, as previously explained many times, in Italy and in the United States of America, are well on track. We expect both webshops to launch towards the end of the fourth quarter of 2015. Juvelo.com will be operated by a 100% subsidiary of Juvelo, Juvelo USA Incorporated, which has already been founded. And we will have partnered with e-fulfillment service, which is a warehouse operator out of Michigan in the United States, in order to run our warehouse. And also e-fulfillment systems is going to work with the same standard boxes that we are also using in Germany, Italy, and the United Kingdom. So also there, we're going to benefit from kind of a completely closed logistics loop of our products without any manual interference in order to ship around product. Also, Jovelo.it, so our Italian webshop, is well underway in its construction and will also most likely be launched towards the end of the fourth quarter of 2015, which will then result in the fact that we have launched three new webshops in the second half of the of 2015. The last and most important project that we did in the fourth quarter is the continued adaptation of our Gemstone acquisition model in our business. Previously, like prior to the IPO of Illumio Group, we were running a on-demand gemstone model in which suppliers were shipping gemstones into our inventory and offering these gemstones to us in order for us to make jewelry out of this and pay the suppliers only after we had produced the jewelry, which enabled us to show a big variety of gemstones and also produce gemstone jewelry out of a big variety of products. At the same time, these suppliers obviously charged us for the fact that they had to put these gemstones into consignment and had to wait for quite some time until they could sell these gemstones, which resulted in us having higher production costs as opposed to us being able to source these gemstones directly on a cash-only basis. Due to some of the proceeds of the IPO, as stated throughout the IPO, we have been able to change our business model to a integrated gem stock that has been owned by ourselves in two steps. The first step was that we acquired a rather significant chunk of gemstone inventory in order to be able to produce out of our own proprietary gemstone inventory. And step number two was that we have then moved our gemstone acquisition to an agile gemstone buying in which we replenish the gemstones that have sold out or that we need on top in rather small lots on a cash-only basis, where we basically go to suppliers and buy a large number of small gemstone lots that we can quickly channel through our systems and offer to our customers in order to reduce our inventory levels to previous levels as we had them prior to this entire change of our gemstone acquisition model, as we had stated also in the presentation throughout the roadshow. There was one aspect where we're always a little bit cautious about in order to not raise too high expectations on what was going to happen, which is what is the total group margin potential out of this change in inventory going to be. As you know, the majority of our product has been sold in a selling mechanism that has variable pricing, and therefore we always have a moving target in terms of margins that we can achieve, and therefore prior to us going public, we were a little bit cautious to not promise too much in terms of group margins that would later on be tricky to hold through. What we can see now, based on the data that we have and based on the performance of the product that have been produced by our vertically integrated gemstone and also by the kind of quick replenishment of products, is that the group margins continuously are a lot higher than the group margins based on the original inventory model that we were running. And we see that due to the fact that in Germany and Italy we've been raising our prices a little bit, that we're also able to maintain these margins, so that we are able to continue to make these margins towards our customers and we don't give away the benefit that we have from this gemstone acquisition model to our customers, but rather make sure that we keep this in our own P&L. Unfortunately, this group margin potential is not yet fully to be seen in our Q3 numbers, as they have been heavily impacted by the events that we have had in the United Kingdom. But throughout Q4, we already see that this is kind of starting to be a lot more visible. And then throughout 2016, from the first to the fourth quarter, this will continue to be visible in our group margins and will enable us to grow a lot more profitably as we could grow in the past. These were just very quickly in the first 20 minutes a summary of the highlights of the third quarter. I called it highlights, even though in the summary we had some of a little bit of a low light. But in total, as we are out of the third quarter now, we look quite positively towards the fourth quarter and 2016. And we are quite confident that we can continue to grow, as I will explain a little bit more in the outlook for 2016. And now I hand over to Bernd Fischer, our CFO, in order to walk you through the financials.
Yes, good morning. Also a very warm welcome from my side. I will guide you through the financials. And of course, as last time, you will find even in more detail the explanations and breakdowns in our Q3 report. Nevertheless, to give you a quick overview and summary of what happened in Q3 and the major topics, I would start now with the next two pages showing the revenues, gross profit, and adjusted EBITDA. On page 13, you can see for the nine-month period clearly the impact from the UK, which is slowing down the increase in revenues down to 8.4%, also the margin declining, and of course the adjusted EBITDA is accordingly affected. Maybe to highlight one point which is still ongoing, and you will see more in detail in a couple of pages, is that still the growth in for the new customers in Germany from those customers approaching us only via the web is still in a very good track, so that almost half of our customers approaching us not via TV but online via email. So on the next page, we see the breakdown for the Q3 itself, which gives us a better picture on the total impact. So the total revenues are down by 16%. Of course, UK is heavily impacted due to the issues we had in September. So the revenues are down by 40% for UK. But also Germany is lower, as Mr. Villiers explained in the beginning. We worked on our price levels, which also led to an expected decline in revenues for Germany. But both at the same time, of course, is also affecting the total development of revenues. Italy is still on a good growth rate of also 14% in the Q3, where we also had some price level adjustments, but also had some investments in cost of reach, where we also gained new customers. And of course, the massive drop in the gross margin, in the gross profit from 54 last year Q3 to 43 this year is also led by a very significant drop in margin for high-value products. Also due to the portion of these high-value sales, due to the lower overall sales, this effect comes more to the bottom line and also leads to the massive drop in Q3 in terms of percentage margin. So, on page 15, we can see that despite the fact that the overall sales are declining in Q3 and also that the growth for the nine-month period has lowered, that the online revenues So everything which all revenues we do via online bidding agents, smartphone apps, and the classic web shop is still significantly growing by more than 60%, whereas the TV sales are slightly below here. And on page 16, when we break down the online sales, we can see clearly that the driver is the classic web shop. So there is still for the 9 month period a massive growth from over 100% for the static and classic web shop, which is also in the meantime driving the overall sales. So this is a clear sign that our approach of our platform with the diverse possibilities for the customers to approach us is working, and that you're also ready to take this opportunity. So on page 17, to keep it short, because it's basically also what Wolfgang has already explained with regard to page 11, showing the potential in gross margin due to the new purchasing system. And as already highlighted, that once the portion of sales from new products is increasing, also the overall margin will increase, which we will see in 2016 and even better in 2017. From page 18 on, we have the profit and loss and balance sheet and cash flow. Allow me to highlight a few numbers. Of course, revenues we touched already, as well as gross profit. Selling expenses and administrative expenses are due to the fact that the sales lowered in Q3 do not show the economy of sales as expected, because the decline in revenues also was not expected that way. So the increase of the selling expenses is mostly driven by the expanded reach in Italy. And whereas the administrative expenses also increased, also it's not showing that on this page, as we have some additional effects like the FX, foreign exchange effect sitting in here, which I will come to later. But of course, due to being public and also expanding our IT team, we have increased staff costs, as well as some other costs, which are reflected here, which is also, of course, due to the fact that we are now public, but being expected to relatively improve when we also will again grow in revenues again. So the next page shows the adjusted EBITDA, where we have a clear and detailed breakdown on the impact showing for the periods of Q3 and the 9 month period versus the prior year. The prior year was very much affected by foreign currency translation effects. Now, due to the stronger euro against the Thai baht, this is not as impacted as in the previous periods. So for Q3, it's even a slightly positive effect, which we also subtracted from the adjusted EBITDA. Then, of course, for the actual year, we recognized the related IPO costs of 437, which are included in the administrative expenses and other expenses from the adjusted EBITDA, as well as those costs from the move in from Leamington to Birmingham from our office in UK, which are incurred from third parties, so like traveling costs, transporting costs. And in the prior year, the results have been affected also from a project called the Discovery Project, where the team in the UK provided services for the Discovery Channel. But this is not an ongoing business, so that's why we subtracted that. So finally, we have the negative goodwill from the acquisition from PWK, which was released and also led to the positive impact in 2014. And based on that, we now having an adjusted EBITDA up to the nine-month period for 2015 from minus 1 million versus 2.8 million in the last year. And regarding the outlook, we will give you also a guidance to that later on. Now for the balance sheet, you find the breakdown of the movements also in the Q3 report in the wording, but maybe let me highlight the most crucial ones. So the intangible assets, the increase is reflecting the acquisition of schmuck.de, so the German website. Is in here the property, plant and equipment, the increase reflecting clearly the purchase of our factory, where the main part is the land, smaller part is building, and then of course the factory equipment in for Thailand for the new factory, as well as the tenant fixtures in the UK and Apple stores in the UK and Germany are reflected here. On the other non-financial assets, the 2 million, which are shown as per 30th of September 2015, we see the BOI one-time payment, which is reflected here, which gives us the 8-year tax-free exemption for our subsidiary in Thailand, which is also, with regard to the future, the reason why our tax level is relatively low. Down on the current assets, we see the trade receivables. This has already happened in for the second quarter and is reflecting the deal with our joint venture partner in the US. This in the meantime, as per last week, is now completely paid off and balanced. And the other non-financial assets, the increase is mainly due to import VAT, which is expected to be paid by the authorities in December. So cash and cash equivalents clearly related to our IPO. And on page 21, the balance sheet. Of course, the total equity increased now by the IPO, so by 52 million euros. And my apologies, I see just that the equity is not reflected well here, because it misses exactly the addition of the 32 million out of the IPO. Because these four numbers cannot add up to the 55 million. Sorry for that. So the 32 million have to be added, and from the total proceeds we subtracted here roughly 3.5 million of costs, mainly, because of the IPO related costs, which were directly subtracted from the proceeds. The foreign currency translation reserve is reflecting the change in currency change for euro versus Thai baht. So last year we had a drop of the euro against the Thai baht. This is why it went up, and now it's coming back due to the stronger euro. For the non-current liabilities, we see the financial debt increasing by roughly 12 million. These are mainly two facilities, bank loan facilities we have taken this year, which is roughly 7 million, with a duration of 2 years from a German bank called Berliner Sparkasse, and 4.7 million with a duration of 10 years for the purchase of the factory in Thailand. So, now coming to the current liabilities, where there have been no significant changes overall. There's a small overdraft facility in Thailand, which is going to be removed in 2016. and no major changes in trade payables and other non-financial liabilities, mainly reflecting VAT. With regard to the cash flow statement on the following next two pages, also quite quick, cash flow from operating activities, not surprisingly, negative, mainly due to the increase in inventories. This as expected. Other non-cash expenses reflecting the increase of deferred taxes as well as the income tax paid, the 2 million reflecting the BOI payment, as just mentioned. Cash flow from investing activities clearly reflect the investments for the factory and in UK as well as the purchase of the schmuck.de domain. And of course, down in the cash flow from financing activities, the facilities we have taken, loan facilities we have taken, as well as the proceeds from the capital increases.
Okay, so I would now like to give you a quick outlook into the fourth quarter of 2015 and more specifically for 2016. As I've said in the beginning in the highlights for the third quarter, we have launched quite a large number of sales initiatives. Some of them we have shown already in our last presentation and some have now come on top of that, such as the Jado collection that we are launching at the moment, but also the relaunch of our webshop in the United Kingdom, the launch of the new webshop in Italy, increased distribution in Italy that we have been investing in. So on top of the current channel that we have in Italy, which is channel 133, we have also acquired a number of smaller windows in large national and local TV stations in program spaces between 9 and 35. Most of these windows have developed very favorably for us and have allowed us to acquire new customers on a stable basis, which is going to allow us to expand our business in 2016 quite nicely. We are going to relaunch Schmuck.de in the first quarter of 2016 and offer to all of the customers of Schmuck.de a much wider, more attractive product assortment than previously. We're also going to launch Yumilo.com in the United States. Based on these initiatives, we expect our revenues to grow in 2016 between 15 and 20%. So our business is going to return to our previous growth expectations. We have, in this presentation, given a guidance on our revenue growth that has a certain kind of span between 15 and 20%, while previously we said we expect to grow 20% or higher. The reason for that is that we have postponed the launch of Yovelo France to the fourth quarter of 2016 or maybe even the first quarter of 2017. The main reason for that being the fact that in order to be able to launch a proper TV station in France, we would have had to start programming that and making preparations for that in the third quarter of this year. As you know, we've had a number of operational issues in the third quarter, and that was not the time to start kind of focusing on entering into a new territory on top of the operational problems we had in the United Kingdom. So we decided to postpone that to make it maybe a little bit later, but a lot more stably. And obviously, the revenue we were expecting to get from that launch in 2016 is now only going to materialize in 2017 after the launch. On the margin side, we can see at the moment that the margins based on our new Gemstone purchasing system are approaching 57, sometimes even 58 or 60%, and we will see as our product assortment is going to have a increasing share of products based out of the new purchase and production system, we're going to see our group margins continuously to increase all throughout 2016 until probably the first quarter of 2017, when we will have reached the final, I would say, sustainable level of these margins. And that is why we are quite optimistic as we look into 2016, because even with lowered expectations of sales only rising by 15%, we are probably all hoping to be able to achieve the same levels of profitability as we were thinking before. So in total, even though we had a rather difficult third quarter of 2015, we look very optimistically into 2016 and are confident that we will be able to deliver what we were hoping to deliver when we brought the company public. That would be everything from our presentation for the time being, but I'm quite sure that there will be a number of questions, and we would be open to answering your questions now.
Thank you very much. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. The operator will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. In case you wish to cancel your question, please press star 2. Just a second, please. Ms. Anne Trichlow, may I have your question, please?
Good morning, everybody. Thank you. I have three questions, in fact. The first one is about pricing. I'm wondering when you're going to take the pricing down again, having raised the prices in Germany and Italy for Uello, and whether the 57% gross margin on new products is at the new higher price or at the previous lower prices. Do you want to answer that one before I go on to questions 2 and 3?
Yeah, and I would greatly appreciate to be able to answer the question step by step. The reason why we have increased our prices slightly in Germany is to make sure that we don't give away the additional margin that we are going to be able to make from the new purchasing model. And at the moment, we have no intention to start lowering the prices again. We have seen that based on the current pricing levels, we are able to maintain with the new products a nice between 56 and 60% group margins, and that is the level that we would like to retain on these products, so there's no anticipation to start lowering the prices again.
Okay, then as a follow-up to that, do you expect slower sales growth than you might have done, given that you are now being less price disruptive?
We don't see that at the moment. Actually, we see the opposite, which is that in the beginning when we were, and we're talking about a couple of percent in price increases, so this was not doubling ourselves, as we are quite competitive in Germany, Italy, and in the UK, as opposed to the competition with our prices, with a roughly the 45 to 50% price difference, and we still hold a pretty large margin or a pretty large kind of gap between us and the next most competitive player in the market. In the fourth quarter, we don't see a continued downward trend in our sales towards our customers, so we think that we can maintain these price levels and at the same time continue to grow.
Okay, thank you. My second question is about the spend of customers who are buying on the web shops compared to online bidding and TV auctions. Do you see a lower average transaction value from the web shops, and do you think that customers buying online only through the web shops will spend less than a year?
We see at the moment, even though we are not disclosing the precise figures, that the average spend per customer per year from people who buy online only is a little bit lower than on television. But at the same time, we see that number growing. We at the moment cannot yet determine how long this is going to continue to grow and whether the total average spend per year per customer is going to end up at the same levels as on television, because also in television in the beginning when we launched in 2008, we had a lot less average spend per customer. So we see a positive trend on that front, but we haven't reached television levels yet.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then the final question is about your Yardo range. When are you launching this, and will it be group-wide, in other words, in the UK as well as in ULO?
At the moment, we are launching this only in Germany, and the first presentation is going to be tomorrow at 5 o'clock. So I warmly welcome all of our German participants in this call to join that presentation and take advantage of the marvelous prices that we're going to offer for this wonderful collection.
Okay, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Mr. Philip Frey, may we have your question, please?
Hello, gentlemen. Philip Frey of Warburg Research. Can you just, get your optimism or increasing optimism on Q4 and, well, even if we assume some sales decline in the UK, would it be fair to assume that your sales in Q4 should again be above the 2014 level? Probably that's to start with that one.
Q4 has not been finalized yet, and obviously kind of the next 4 weeks are going to be extremely crucial in order to kind of determine our full sales levels in the fourth quarter of 2015. Based on the trouble that that we had in the United Kingdom, and based on the fact that it took us quite some time to regain customer confidence, which we are at the moment getting back, but we still are below expectations of what would a fourth quarter have to look like. We don't see that we're going to have a massive increase of our revenues in the fourth quarter of 2015 at the moment, which is in line with the guidance that we have given with our previous release, in which we said that we expect our levels of sales for 2015 in total to be pretty much on the same level as 2014 in total.
No, I only mean I'm a bit wondering, you're commenting that your growth rates in Germany and Italy pretty much returning to the same trajectory that you had beforehand, and that would basically imply the momentum in the UK even significantly worsening to have not at least stable sales in Q4. If I'm taking these comments seriously, that's why I'm wondering, what's my mistake? Aren't your sales growing again in Germany then?
I'm not sure whether I've fully understood the question, but I'll try to reply to that. As for the UK, we are below what we would expect to make in revenues in a fourth quarter. We are back to the growth trajectory that we had before, so kind of the business is growing again. But it is growing from a lower basis, and therefore we have a significant loss in revenues in the United Kingdom also in the fourth quarter.
Yes. Probably I should rephrase my question. Am I interpreting it correctly that when you comment on the same growth trajectory that for Germany and Italy than you had beforehand, that you are speaking about something like high single digits, or probably low double digit growth for Germany, and around 25% growth for Italy, or is that a gross misinterpretation on my behalf?
In total, yes. We would not want to comment on individual growth rates from the individual territories for the fourth quarter, as we have not released individual quarterly figures for 2014 in these countries. But in total, kind of your assessment of where does our growth come from and where are we facing problems at the moment, that's correct. So fastest growing territory at the moment is Italy. After that, Germany, and the problem territory at the moment is the United Kingdom, even though in the United Kingdom at the moment we are on a good path to fix these problems.
Okay, so more or less the best case scenario is that more or less November, December are pretty probably could reach the prior year level probably in the UK, but that's more kind of a positive scenario. Understood. And regarding the postponement of the expansion in France, you mentioned your optimism on reaching pretty much the same EBITDA level that you hoped at the IPO. Does this imply that there are no startup costs for France, basically, that we should assume in 2016, or a rather insignificant number? Any comments on that?
Yes, you can assume a rather insignificant number. Obviously, there are going to be startup costs, but in our business, the bulk of the cost when starting a business are cost of distribution and operational cost of running the operation itself, and both of these costs are not going to materialize prior to us launching. So at the moment, we don't assume significant cost for that to happen in 2016, other than some legal cost and registration cost. But this is, I don't know, maybe 50,000 euros or something. So that doesn't make sense to make a separate assumption about that.
Yeah, so when we have still low single-digit euro million figures for startup costs in our model, that's probably quite conservative. And but my last question on inventory levels, I assume it's clear that end of Q3 is a seasonal peak in inventory. In terms of, your future in inventory increases, do you foresee even with a growing sales base now from your current inventory level, significant increases, or what's your some comments on inventory and your expected sustainable inventory to sales ratio would be appreciated.
Yeah, no, indeed we expect the opposite. We have included in our inventories right now the bulk purchase of gemstones from the first half year of 2015. This is going to be utilized throughout 2016 fully. And our objective is to come back to a sales ratio basically on the level of 2014, where we had 70 million euros of sales and 20 million euros of stock. And of course, we see in the long term also some further potentials to optimize that in with regard to optimize also the integration of the factory in the sales territories, and also with regard to the new factory to use the optimization potential further.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Mr. Christoph Buss, may we have your question, please?
Yes, hello. So the first one is, could you please specify the impact your UK issue had on the gross profit? Or in other words, would it be fair to assume that the revenue increase in UK would have been roughly about, let's say, 10% year over year at a gross margin of around 50%? 10%? That would be the first one. Secondly, when it comes to Germany or in general, could you explain the 20% decline in gross profit per product? I mean, also, although revenues per unit have been higher, and in your report you state that the gross margin was down to a focus on more expensive products at a lower margin. I don't really understand this. So some explaining words here would be great.
Okay. To begin with, our margin expectation in the United Kingdom, in particular for the third and even more for the fourth quarter, was quite extensive, as we had produced close to 8 million euro in inventory specifically for the fourth quarter of 2015. And a large chunk of the product that we have produced under the new system has actually been shipped to the United Kingdom, where we predominantly, which is roughly 95% of our inventory, sell only gold products and have a very, very limited silver assortment. In the German system, we've had in the third quarter an unexpected high level of sale of very expensive products, like in the region between 15,000 and 50,000 euros, from a high value line that is traditionally always rather low in margins, because when you sell a piece of jewelry for, let's say, 50,000 euros, it is a little bit tricky to charge still the 50% or 60% markup that you would want to charge on lower products. We've had some inventory on that front available and the ability to sell this product, and we went ahead and did this, which has enabled us to liquidate that inventory, even though not at the margin levels that we usually achieve with other products.
You see this also reflected in the average selling price, which is clearly higher than in the previous periods.
Yeah, that was the reason why I'm asking, because the average revenue prices were up, but the gross margin was down. So that was the reason behind my question. So that was rather due to the sale of these, let's say, call it extraordinary products.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
For questions, please press star one on your touchtone telephone. There are no further questions.
Okay. So in that case, I think we can conclude the call. Thank you very much for your continued interest, and we hope to speak to all of you again in the first quarter of 2016 for the full year financials of 2015 of Illumio Group. Thank you
very
much.
We want to thank all the participants of this conference. Thank you. Goodbye.